a transition to the cloud is certainly the future. But I think one thing we're seeing, and I think is the trend, is that everyone is working their way to the cloud, but it's also, it's happening in steps.
Welcome to Veritone's Adventures in AI, a worldwide podcast that dives into the many ways technology and artificial intelligence is shaping our future for the better. I'm your host, Megan Minchev, and I am thrilled to share this episode with you. Today, we will be featuring three remarkable companies who have leveraged the power of AI to revolutionize their operations. But what makes it extra special is that they've joined me live at NAB Show 2023. And for those of you who don't know, NAB is the National Association of Broadcasters, and this is held at the Las Vegas Convention Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. And it's really cool because each year, thousands of content professionals from all corners of the media, entertainment, and technology space come to this amazing show. It is designed for those striving to drive listeners and engage viewers in larger numbers for greater reach. And it's imagined for those seeking to create uncommon audio and visual experiences. And of course, it's no different for the folks who are joining me today, including Aaron Kroger from Dillette, Ronan Nandy from Stats Perform. We also have Brian Kenworthy from AWS. They'll all be sharing their incredible stories of how AI has transformed their respective industries. And that is not all. We'll also be joined by Veritone's Senior Vice President and General Manager of Commercial Enterprise, Sean King. He will be giving us the inside scoop on all things generative AI, a technology that is for sure disrupting industries across the board, which we have quickly learned being at the show this year. So join us as we dive into the world of AI with Veritone's Adventures in AI. Let's first check in with Dillette's Aaron Kroger.
Hi, my name is Aaron Kroger. I'm the product marketing manager for Media Workflow at Dillette. I work with our Flex product, which is really a media workflow. We deal with production asset management, archive monetization, and a media supply chain with that solution. At NAB this year, we are showcasing a few updates to our Flex platform. One of the big updates is our mobile application. We have our new Flex Mobile, which is basically bringing the power of your media asset management to your fingertips. So you can search and find, review assets, look at your collections. But I think the more practical use case for that also is the review and approve. So now you have the ability through Flex to send requests for approval and review, and users can now either start the review on their phone, look at it, add comments, approve or reject, or they can either do that full workflow on their phone, or they can also start it, add some notes, and then pick it back up on the desktop or wherever they are. And the great thing is then, as you approve a file, it's sending that back to the MAM and to the workflow engine. So from your phone, you could say approve, and that might trigger a workflow that's going to create multiple versions of that file then and distribute to any number of platforms that you have configured in that workflow. Another big development, which is kind of hot off the press, is also our partnership and integration between Flex and Veritone. So one thing that we're finding is that we have a lot of clients that have these massive libraries, 20 petabytes of footage, 100 years of content. And with Flex and some of our solutions, Media Cortex with AI scanning, we now have these rich, robust media libraries that have, like I said, so much content. And now people have realized, oh, I can actually find my content. I have all this content I didn't even realize I have. And they think that's great. But then the most important question that comes up is like, okay, now what do I do with this content? So that's where by partnering and having that storefront integration, I think is a trend that's becoming really popular. Because really it's just, again, people have realized they're sitting on a pile of gold and it's always been there, but they've never been able to find it and actually use it. So having a storefront connected to that library and being able to access that metadata, find those clips, and customers be able to directly access it is incredibly powerful. And we're seeing that as a big trend.
Aaron also discussed how using AI and machine learning enhances Dillette's data and analytics capabilities.
At Dillette and with Flex, we have a program called Dillette Media Cortex, which is somewhat of an AI broker. So what we would like to do is being able to utilize best of breed AI services, but then having a platform that can help orchestrate and then bring all that metadata back in, centralize it,
apply it, get it to the applicable clips. And then what that allows us to do is use one service for speech to text, use one for facial recognition, whether that's existing relationships or clients determining that that's the preferred. And it's a core of the whole Flex platform is a very open, we have a robust API. We really like to be at the center of the hub and then connect to where the best in breed is, but also what makes sense for the business, whether it's existing and whatnot. So we have a lot of different solutions coming off of that hub that we also offer, but also have that ability to integrate with what makes sense for your business.
Aaron also shared Dillette's vision for the future of the industry and how they see their technology and services evolving in the coming years.
I think in the media and entertainment industry, this is obviously a bit of a common answer, but obviously a transition to the cloud is certainly the future. But I think one thing we're seeing, and I think is the trend, is that everyone is working their way to the cloud, but it's happening in steps. And I think we're seeing a popular solution starting to roll out cloud features, gain that benefit of all that access, but also still being connected to some on-prem storage, and then over time making that migration. And I think what a good solution is, and I think a trend is to companies are up and running today. They're in business, so they have working storage, and they've maybe just recently invested in it, and they still want to get that return, but that doesn't mean you still can't benefit from the cloud. So we can go in and we can add, we have the ability to maybe put our proxies on the cloud, but still have our high-res prem, but then what we can do is work on transitioning over time as that equipment on-prem is aging out. We go ahead and transition to the cloud when the clients are more comfortable and they start to really see. And we also see once they start to utilize the cloud, sometimes that transition happens even faster because they're realizing, okay, the cloud isn't scary. It is safe. It actually is cheaper. So yeah, I think that migration is certainly well on its way and a big trend.
All right, let's go chat with Ronan Nandy from Stats Perform and see what they've got going on.
I lead business development for Stats Perform. We are a leading provider of real-time stats, analytics, and digital content solutions for media companies, leagues, and betting operators. Very excited to be here. Great chance to meet with so many leaders in the media industry, as well as our partners, including Veritone. And I'm just here to learn and take in as much as I can.
I also asked Ronan what new developments Stats Perform is unveiling this year that he can talk about. And here's what he had to say.
It's been a busy year for Stats Perform in the areas of generative AI and analytics. In the past year, we've released OptiVision, so AI-powered insights, as well as our PressBox platform. We also have a host of other AI features, including player predictions and so forth. OptiVision is AI-powered insights. It's an AI-enriched data feed that for coaching staffs, it provides insights into player and team decision-making. So say if you're an EPL fan and there's an upcoming Manchester United match on the weekend, a coaching OptiVision may suggest certain player roster recommendations. It may recommend that Bruno Fernandes, for instance, plays deeper into the midfield to create opportunities for his teammates. So that's one of the applications that we've come out with this year. It's exciting times to work at the intersection of generative AI and sports. I think for us, we have been a leader in the media industry in providing and sports content solutions. As these new developments unfold, and the new products that we come to market with. And I'm excited about the new possibilities that it's going to result in. So some areas that are exciting to me, we know that for European football clubs, they are increasingly looking to build new digital fan experiences. So one of the areas that has been discussed in the generative AI space is virtual stadiums and real-time 3D renderings of players powered by our Opta data, for instance, and fans being able to participate in those experiences. We know that 99% of most fans don't ever have a chance to see their favorite soccer team play live. Another exciting area would be virtual interactive sports personalities, generative AI powering a lot of that commentary by our Opta sports data, Opta voice providing commentary, a host of new applications that's on the horizon. Another really exciting development for Stats Perform this past year has been our partnership with Veritone and our release of Off the Voice, where it's generative AI commentary. So we are leveraging our enormous OptiSports database and integrating that with Veritone's leading synthetic voice applications to create novel audio experiences for fans. The previews, recaps, play-by-plays of your favorite teams, a very exciting release for us.
All right. Well, as you can see, Stats Perform is pretty busy. Now we are going to go and switch over to AWS and speak with Principal Solutions Architect Brian Kenworthy.
We typically do trade shows to show off our latest services, but we also like to highlight all of our partners. So we send our messaging in that you have flexibility of choice to mix and match different workloads for your needs with different partners.
AI plays a significant role in media and entertainment. So I asked Brian how AWS uses AI to enhance the customer experience for media companies and if he could provide some examples.
It's definitely obviously been a big trend ever since OpenAI came out with ChatGPT, and it's been an explosion of interest. We at Amazon have been big proponents of this, doing AI, ML, and machine learning in a variety of ways. Amazon SageMaker helps you customize and train a model if you have no experience with that sort of thing. It does it for you. All of our translation services, such as Amazon Transcribe, Amazon Translate, Amazon Poly, Amazon Comprehend, will help with that process and getting things from speech to text and then translating. And then I think it's revolutionizing the industry to see what you can do as a starting point. Maybe it won't be for the whole workload. Maybe you have a human in the loop checking things, but for things like news feeds, for things like animation, there's definitely an opportunity to use these types of technologies and artificial intelligence to preserve or create capacity for the finite number of resources for translators in the world, as one example.
What's really cool is that AWS has a product demo that's being shown at their booth, which features Veritone Voice. So I asked Brian to shed a little bit of light about the demo and what the use case is.
We're showing a use case that's really around an audio and radio workflow, but we're showing using a media asset management partner named Nomad how you can create automatically through Amazon EventBridge and APIs using Veritone Voice different dubs in different languages. And so what we did is we created a synthetic voice through Veritone using my voice, Brian Kenworthy, and we created a Spanish version of that. So I spent about 4 hours reading different texts to show different variants of my emotion. And we have a race car theme at our booth that I did a lot of announcer related text and speeches. So now you've seen my voice in Spanish synthetically, and it's really quite remarkable and quite amazing how the likeness is so accurate. My wife is a native Spanish speaker, and she even chose the voice, and she's just incredible. And over at the booth, the response and the amount of people that are interested in Veritone Voice based on that example has been really quite something.
So Brian's wife knows how to speak Spanish, but does Brian?
I do. I don't speak it as well as the Veritone Voice version of me does. But yes, it was very interesting. And I liked how we saw the different types of things that I would need to say to model out a comprehensive version of my intonation, my pitch, my liveliness, which is one of the things that became challenging as I got into the later hours of training. But yeah, it was really something I didn't know what to expect. And when I heard my voice for the first time in a different language and seeing how well it was really quite disconcerting at first, but also very cool, and it's really accurate.
Besides being able to have your AI voice speak a completely different language than you know, you can actually change the gender of it. So I asked Brian if he heard his voice in the female version.
No, but I did see the controls of how you could play with things after the fact and change your pitch and your speed and your intonation. And I haven't seen that, but it would be really interesting to see. Probably pretty funny because I have a very monotone and low voice. So I'm always combating against that.
Finally, I asked Brian how he envisioned the media and entertainment industry changing over the next decade.
Yeah, I think it's going to go through a lot of changes, specifically with AI ML technologies. I think we're going to see more people lean into it. I think at the beginning of the cloud, people were very reticent to do it from a security perspective and changing their workflows. Or I think this is also going to be an evolution and a big tipping point of people trying these technologies, still keeping humans in the loop, but seeing where they can become more efficient, what workloads could be done from a quality or validation check, and what things can help them create capacity and see how remarkable the quality of these types of things are.
And finally, I had the chance to talk with the very busy Sean King, who is Veritone's SVP and General Manager of Commercial Enterprise. I asked him how the show was for him, for Veritone overall, and for him to dive more into generative AI.
Our time at NAB has been very busy, so I was fortunate enough to speak on a panel on Sunday and then give a keynote on Monday just around what Veritone is doing in the generative AI space, as well as how we're building custom bespoke workflows to be able to empower our customers to reach their audiences and reach their customers in a much deeper, more meaningful way.
Before going any further, I needed to have Sean define generative AI.
Generative AI will enable a person, organization of any size to be able to take advantage of all of their associated assets and be able to utilize them and recreate them into different ways in which they could use in the hopes to create new content and monetize some of their existing content and hoping them increase a level of revenue per asset that they didn't have before. Generative AI is obviously a buzz term today from those, and it's really around leveraging a lot of existing AI models, especially large language models that have candidly been around for quite some time. I love the mass adoption and experimentation that has taken place from generative AI over the last few months, specifically around OpenAI's launch of ChatGPT. But as an organization, you really need to define what's your strategy. What are you looking to do as an organization? Am I looking to create new content? Am I looking to more effectively manage and utilize my content? Am I needing help on the monetization or the innovation side of my business? First, you need to solve for that, because there are many different ways in which you can leverage both generative AI and all sorts of different metadata in order to be able to help you reach that goal. So I say, before you dive in saying, I need generative AI in my organization, is where are you needing increased strategy across your organization, and how can AI play a role in that?
So jobs in generative AI is something that's really hot right now. In a recent Goldman Sachs report, it said significant disruption could be on the horizon for the labor market, and around the world, as many as 300 million jobs could be affected. Changes to labor markets are likely, of course, but it also creates new ones. So that being said, the report also said the use of AI technology could also boost labor productivity growth and boost global GDP by as much as 7% over time.
I think this is that opportunity where you can superhuman your organization. So is it going to impact jobs? Absolutely. And it's going to help people be able to do more with what they have. And it's going to be able to increase their output. It's going to create, and that output is going to lead to new innovation. And that innovation always leads to new areas of growth. Like when technology came out, it didn't disrupt the farmers in the world. It allowed them to increase their crops, to grow more, to do that. And we're going to speak that same level of innovation. But also to that job side of it is AI can really help you hire more effectively, more efficiently, by being able to, if you're a high volume hiring person, you need to hire tens of thousands of people a year. There's an area where AI can really help you out. I need to hire 10,000 people. Therefore, I'm going to need to interview 25,000 people. How many times are you going through? How can I leverage AI to help me identify the most qualified candidates and get them through the funnel faster so I can spend more time getting people in the door and getting those qualified applicants into my organization?
Besides the disruption in jobs, there are also some other challenges working with generative AI, and especially businesses. So how is it that businesses can overcome these challenges?
I think the challenges that come in, there's like, again, how do you want to use it? So going back to what I was saying earlier around defining your strategy as an organization, I think you need to also define your guardrails. What are you willing to do and not do? And you need to think about that as you're going into that process, not while you're after the fact. Not to say that things are going to pop up that you may need to think about or reevaluate, but you need to think about what are your going to be guardrails. At Veritone, we have our very strong ethics around what we do, around transparency and trust and security, and that we live and breathe every day in what we're doing. Like, we highly encourage all of our customers and even people just thinking about generative AI. These are some of those things you need to bring in the forefront of those.
There was a recent GPT-4 update. So what exactly is this and how does it change the landscape?
When it's playing around with the ChatGPT and what's there, that's all the web-based data up and through, I believe, 2021. So it's going to be a lot more relevant and it's going to be a lot more actionable to the stuff that we're seeing today and we're experiencing in real life. And I think that's just going to lead to a lot more in-depth conversations around, are people embracing it or are people opposing it? And these are all good, safe conversations for people to be having.
What are some real world examples of how generative AI has been used to create innovative or even unexpected outcomes?
I'll give two examples of how we're working with some of our customers. First one being Cameo Kids. We're fortunate enough to work with Cameo and their very well-renowned IP partners in helping create personalized, customized cartoon messages for kids from their favorite characters. And these are very custom bespoke workflows that are using clear rules of what it can and cannot do and providing a very unique personalized experiences where you can share milestones with your children from their favorite characters, whether it's a happy birthday or a good night or a great first day at school or I hope you get well soon. That's a wonderful special moment that you can be able to do, and all powered by these automated workflows. Second being our with Stats Perform with our partnership. For those of you who are unaware, Stats Perform is one of the leading data providers for sports and is powering some of organizations, both big and small, across the globe by being really clean, best-in-class data in sports. We're able to take those raw data feeds and using NLG or natural language generation, being able to take that data and convert it into natural spoken word. And then using our speech synthesis to be able to take real-time automated play-by-play. And so the level of accessibility that it brings to sports, that it can bring underrepresented sports a seat at the table where everyone can be able to have access to the sports that they're looking to consume and when they're looking to consume it. Again, that ability to be able to bring more media to people when they want to consume it and how they want to consume it is a special opportunity.
Say I'm just starting out looking to explore the world of generative AI for my business. What advice would you give me?
Pick your partner well. And do your homework on those. You need to make sure that you have and are partnered with the right group that understands the landscape, understands the subtle nuances that are there. I mean, it is a very and can seem to be a very almost wilderness guide that you need going through this huge ecosystem of all the opportunities that are there. But think about, what am I trying to solve in my organization as the first question? And then once I know what I want to solve, who's my partner that's going to help lead me through that?
What is the evolvement of generative AI in the next few years?
That's a great question. And I think we're just beginning to see this level of innovation and ideas that are coming. What I'm looking to be able to see is I'm excited about how this is going to transform all of these existing workflows out there. And what I really think will happen is the level of personalization that we're able to get content of all shapes and sizes to allow individuals to be able to ingest and understand not just their media, but their information, how they want to, when they want to, why they want to, and just that level of personalization that a generative AI will allow and enable across multiple organizations, not just media, entertainment, and advertising, is going to be, it's transformative.
All this talk with these fabulous companies and talking about generative AI, and I totally forgot to tell you that we won two awards while at the show. The first one that we won was the BAM Awards, or Broadcast and Media Awards. We won the Monetize category for generative AI, and the second one that we won was the Product of the Year Award for generative AI. This has been another episode of Veritone's Adventures in AI, a worldwide podcast that dives into the many ways technology and artificial intelligence is shaping our future for the better.